Hello and welcome to the introductory tutorial for Trivia Board version 4. My name is Tom Dorscher and I will be giving you a guided tour of Trivia Board Pro 4 and its many features and how to utilize them and make the most of the software for your unique application. Now by now you should have the software installed, a license key obtained from DigiGames, and the program officially running. Once you have it up on the screen, this tutorial will be able to guide you through its various features, and you can follow along with your own personal copy of the software as you listen to this tutorial. Now with Trivia Board Pro 4 running, we're going to work clockwise, and we're going to discuss some of the main features on the main interface board that you are looking at right now. On the bottom left-hand side, you'll see the game board area. Probably at this time you see your custom logo appearing in this area. This is the part of the software that only the contestants and the audience sees. They do not see the controls on the right hand side or on the upper side, and a future tutorial will explain how to make that possible with that. They just simply see just the game board and not the other controls and so forth. Above that, in the top left section is the answer field. This is where the answers to the questions appear. And this allows you at a glance to see what the answer is and compare it to the contestant's response without having to work with any books or printouts or anything like that. So you can ask the questions without having to know the answers accordingly. Above that, you'll see your file and help. We'll be getting into some of the options available in the file in a moment. Your help we are going to talk about, and if you just click on that help, this is a very important feature of Trivia Board that you should know about, or really any of the software games produced by Trivia Production Suite. If you click help and about, and you will see a little screen there with the credentials, but that release date towards the bottom is really important, especially when you're updating your software. You will definitely want to confirm that your software has been successfully updated, and at a glance you can compare the release date on that with what the website said as the release date. If they do not match up, that means your software did not successfully update, and certainly feel free to give us a call for some assistance there. But that release date otherwise would be updated, and that will confirm to you that a successful patch has been applied. Go ahead and click OK. We're going to move over to the right of the answer field, which is, you'll see a category manager button there. We'll be getting a little bit into that in a little bit. And to the right of that is your start game. So we're going to really officially start here with this tutorial. Where it says start game, to the right of that you'll see where it says load, edit, and an abbreviated word for continue. Your load button, you'll probably never use that unless you're creating your own custom sets and you store it in a directory outside of the default directory from the editor. And basically what I mean by that is your editor allows you to create your own categories and questions and answers and so forth. And when you save it, it's going to save it in a default directory. Now, some users want to save it in a different directory outside of the default, and you would use the load button to load those sets accordingly. But if you use the default directory for saving your custom sets, you'll never need to use that box. The next box there is your edit button. We will be getting further into that in a further tutorial, but that allows you to create your own custom sets, your own categories, questions and answers, multiple choice, put in video clips, audio clips, all in pictures, all kinds of fun stuff. The continue button is kind of useful when it comes to going from one round to the next, but you want to keep the same contestants for the next round. Typically, you would not use this feature. Typically, for your next round, you would want to get new contestants from the audience to come up and play the next round. But on TV, they go from one round to the next with the same contestants, and their scores continue on into the next round. And the continue button allows you to load a set of questions into the software and keep the players' names and keep their existing scores without resetting. Now, if you load a new game in, it's a helpful feature of the software that the players' names and the scores will reset. and the software assumes that you are dealing with new contestants, because that would be the norm when using this. Continue, again, allows you to keep the players' names and their scores into the next round. But for the most part, below these features, you're going to see a little drop-down box. And don't load a set in yet. We will be doing that soon. But that drop-down box, and you can just click the drop-down box, but I wouldn't load a game in yet. But just click the drop-down box, and that loads the database of questions and answers. They're stored as text files within the application's directory. So those text files are just simply notepad files that can be moved from one machine to another. But you see the listing of the file names of those text files. So if you were to create your own custom set and you want to name it Fun Facts, and you save it in the applications directory, when you click that drop-down box, it's going to load all the file names of all the text files that appear within that applications directory, including your custom set. So if you were to scroll down, you would see your custom set appear within that drop-down box directory. Moving on down, you'll see three tabs: visual, audio, and PDA. And right above that, you'll see a jump button. That jump button typically is not used except for the purposes of the tutorial, so you can skip all the questions in a set and go completely to the end of the game to your final question. And we will be accessing that here in another tutorial. But another useful time when the jump button might be useful is if you have a time limit to a particular round. And when that time is up, you can use the jump feature to jump to the end of the game to jump to the final question, and that clears out any remaining questions and advances the software to that final question so that you can end the game within the allotted time frame. Now we'll go down to your visual, audio, and PDA tabs. Your first tab is your visual tab. These are the features that govern directly what the audience and the contestants see. The first option in the game board box in your visual tab, you'll see where it says player, and you can toggle between 2 players, 3 players, 4 players, 6 players, 8 players, and 10 players. Depending on how many player positions you've purchased from DigiGames, you can directly access how many player positions you want viewed on the screen. So if you purchased a 3-player game show system, you would use the default 3. If you have 6 push buttons, then you would toggle over to 6. Your next option down is your scoring. And your scoring governs the scoring method that's visible to the contestants, to the audience. In your 10 position, the scoring ranges from 10 to 50. In your 20 position, the scoring ranges from 20 to 100. With the 100 position, it ranges from 100 to 500. And the 200 position ranges from 200 to 1,000. And you'll see a different look and feel, different visual effects on the game board with those various scoring options. By default, you'd want to use the 100 scoring. And if you were to use the continue button in the upper right-hand side to go from one round to the next utilizing the same players, you might want to do like a double round. And that's where you would access your 200 scoring, which would be the 200 through 1,000. A fairly close recreation of what you might see on the real TV show on TV. Your next option down is your buzzers. By default, the option is set to auto. And basically, in auto mode, the buzzers of your game show system are only going to work when a question is up on the screen. They will not work between questions. So between questions, when you're accessing your next category and dollar amount, if a player hits a buzzer, nothing is going to happen. As soon as a question comes up on the screen, the buzzers become enabled, and contestants can then, at that point, ring in. In your manual mode, the function of the manual mode is a little bit of a closer recreation on the TV show. When the question comes up on the screen in manual mode, the buzzers will not work until you physically click on the question then the buzzers become enabled. And this is much like when Alex Trebek on TV is reading the question, even though it appears on the screen, contestants cannot ring in at that time. In fact, they're actually penalized on TV, although the feature does this feature is not supported in our software. But once you finish reading the question, then you click on the question on the screen, and then the buzzers become enabled. A little box will give you a visual confirmation that you have successfully clicked on the question. A little red box that's visible to you, the computer operator and the host, as well as the contestants. A little red box representing stop turns green when the question is clicked on, and that tells everybody that the buzzers are now enabled. You would use this feature if you have a speed reader as a contestant, and he has an unfair advantage of speed reading over the other contestants, and you can block him out from ringing in until the completion of the question takes place. In on mode, this toggles a functionality of the software that basically says players can ring in at any time at will. And you would probably never use this function unless you're reading questions from a book or from a printout. And then in that scenario, you would turn on the buzzers, establish a predefined value for the question. So if you predefine 100 points and as you're reading questions out of a book or cards from a board game, if the contestant gets it right, they're going to get 100 points. If they get it wrong, they're going to lose 100 points. Regardless of the degree of the question's difficulty, it'll be a fixed value, but it allows for you to use the software for a basic method of simply just turning on the buzzers and establishing a predefined point value and reading from a book or cards from a board game. Otherwise, for the most part, you'll use buzzers in auto mode, which again basically means questions come up on the screen and then buzzers become enabled. Between questions, buzzers are not enabled. Going down below that, you'll see the option Enable Keyboard Control. You do want to have that box checkmarked if it's not checkmarked. Enabling keyboard controls allows you to enable various hotkey functions that are directly accessible on your keyboard. And by simply striking that key, you can enable a hotkey. And we'll go into the hotkey definitions here momentarily. But enabling keyboard control also allows you to ring in players without a game show system connected. And so for the purposes of this tutorial, you do want to have that checkbox enabled, because more than likely for this tutorial, you do not have your game show system connected to your computer. So you're going to be using the number one key to ring in player number one, the number two key to ring in two, and three to ring in player number three. So those keys will be useful for this tutorial. And they'll be useful also in your performances if you want to manually ring in a contestant to ask a bonus question in between questions. In show animation, we do recommend that that checkbox is enabled. And the show animation allows various animation effects to be visible on your projector or television. So when a contestant rings in, they get a question right. All kinds of balloons come up. When they ring in and they get it wrong, the sound effect and the visual aspect of stuff exploding appears on the screen. If you do not like that animation, you can either change it within your file options, we'll get to that of course later, or just turn off that feature to make for a quicker game. Enabling that feature does slow down the game because there's about 4 or 5 seconds that the animation appears on the screen before you're able to access your next question. In large categories, your next option there, in large categories on extended desktop, we do not recommend checking that. You will want to leave that unchecked. But if you were to check that, the reason why you would check that is if you have a projector of low quality, you're in a bright room where it's washing out the projector screen, and you need to oversize the categories because they aren't directly visible. The categories are relatively small, at the top of the game board. So if you find that contestants are squinting to read what the categories are, you can checkbox that, and it will enlarge those categories. And it's kind of an obtrusive effect, but it is useful if you have a low-resolution projector or there's some other lighting condition that's impairing the contestant's ability to properly read the categories. Coming down on your visual, you have a 4x4 and a 5x6 push button. And the 4x4 basically tells the software, I only want 4 categories and 4 questions in each category. So basically it's 16 questions, and then of course your final question makes for 17 questions total. This would be useful when you're doing rapid games. You want to have a lot of contestants in a short amount of time. So you simply toggle over to your 4x4 grid, and then you have 4 categories across and 4 questions down. By default, the software does 6 categories across and 5 questions in each category. So that's 30 questions in a normal game, plus your final question makes for 31 total questions. And that definitely makes for a much longer game. 4x4, you're looking at a 10-minute game. On a 5x6, depending on how smart the contestants are and how much ad-libbing you do, could be 15 to 20 minutes per round. So depending on, again, how fast you want to get contestants through, how many people you want to get involved, either one of those features will be useful depending on your application. Coming down off of that, the next option there in the visual tab is make next question a daily double. This is a little cheater tool that we've put into the software. And this cheater tool allows the next question to appear to be a daily double, regardless of if that question is a daily double or not. The time that this would be useful, and this certainly lends for some comedy to the software, to your performance, if you have, let's just say players 1 and 2 are extremely smart, and they've got really, really nice high scores. Player number 3, he's really struggling along with the game. He's got a very, very low score. And at some point, he rings in, he gets some points, and you kind of feel bad for him. So you want the next question to come up to be a daily double. And of course, we all know that the daily double does go to the contestant who answered the last question correctly. And I'm going to repeat that because that's very important to know. Just like on TV, when a daily double comes up on the screen, who gets the daily double? Well, it was the contestant who got the previous question correct. So if player number 1 rang in, they got a question right, then the next question comes up, it happens to be daily double. Players 2 and 3 do not get the daily double. Only contestant number 1 gets the daily double, and again, it is because he answered the previous question correctly, so he earns the right to potentially double his score. So this little cheater tool allows you to get a player closer in score to the other contestants. So if player number 1 has 2,000 points, player number 2 has 2,000 points, player number 3 only has 100, you kind of feel bad for him. Maybe it's a good-looking girl. I don't know. A young kid. There might be various reasons why you might use this feature, but you can assign a daily double to the next question, thereby allowing that contestant to catch up to players number 1 and 2. So even if player number 3 walks away not winning, he doesn't feel as bad not winning. And that's really useful in your performance, that you know, your smartest contestants will win no matter what, even if you do some cheating. But the objective that we find that's very helpful is that your losing contestant doesn't, in fact, lose by much. So he feels good about having played, even though he didn't win. Very, very important. You'll get a feel for toggling the software and overriding scoring and having fun with cheating yourself, especially if you allow the contestants to cheat. We recommend cheating. And that's good for getting future bookings from a booking client because everybody feels good even when they lose. Coming down to your timed response option, this little drop-down box basically forces a contestant to respond with an answer within a specified amount of time. And go ahead and click that drop-down box to see the options available to you. You have 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 7 seconds, and 10 seconds. You would never use 3 seconds. That's really fast, because even if a contestant responds in time, you still have to tell the software that they got it right by hitting Y, or they got it wrong by hitting N on your keyboard, and we'll get into that a little bit. You still have to hit that in time. So if they respond in time, but you didn't hit the key in time, that's obviously a problem. So we recommend, if you're going to use the option, maybe use 7 seconds or 10 seconds. And that allows time for the contestant to respond, as well as gives you ample opportunity to hit Y for yes or N for no on your keyboard, depending on if the contestant got it right or they got it wrong. Coming down, you see the option manually select players if buzzers are not connected, and you can manually ring in contestants 1, 2, and 3. Normally, you would use your number keys. It's a little easier to just hit a key than to use your mouse and align the mouse over the button and to click down on the button to enable or to ring in that contestant. But if you didn't want to use the number keys, perhaps you assign a sound effect into the number keys and you don't want to use the number keys, then you would simply use those buttons to ring in a contestant, 1, 2, or 3, depending on how many contestants you are playing with in the software. And that's directly proportionate to the top of the visual tab where you have your 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10 players. So if you were to click over to 10 players, and you can go ahead and do that, go ahead and click over to 10 players, and you'll see that there's now 10 push buttons that become enableable, if that's even a word, where you can manually ring them in. And you'll also see below that all the scores of the 10 players. But go ahead and click back down to 3 players, just for the purposes of this tutorial. Below your manually selecting of the players, you'll see bonus plus, bonus minus, and then there's a drop-down box directly to the right of that. And those three features work in tandem. Your bonus plus basically pops a little thing up on the screen, and this will only work between questions, not during a question. But the bonus plus pops up a feature on the screen, and it directly says the first person who hits their buzzer gets 100 points, or whatever that drop-down box is set at to the right of bonus plus and bonus minus. And this is kind of a fun aspect, kind of adds a little salt to your performance. You can hit bonus plus, or you can hit the plus sign on your keyboard, or your equal sign, plus and equal double as a key on your keyboard. If you look at your keyboard, plus and equals occupy the same key. You would strike that key or click that button to trigger that feature, and it basically says, again, first person who rings in gets 100 points. And this is kind of fun. Players hit their buzzers. And usually what I do, or most operators, they'll hit that button several times consecutively. First person rings and gets 100 points. Bam! Somebody hits their button, gets 100 points. Then you hit it again. First person rings and gets 100 points. Bam! They hit their button, get 100 points. And then do it a third time. First person who rings and gets 100 points. Bam! Somebody rings in. Then, just to add some comedy to the show, you would click bonus minus, which says first person who rings in loses 100 points, or whatever you have in that drop-down box to the right. Could be as much as 500 points, whatever you set that at. First person rings and loses 500 points. Well, they've hit the button. They've been conditioned to one method. You've thrown in a curveball by saying first person who rings and loses 100 points. You've thrown in that little curveball. Everybody laughs. They're having a good time. Somebody is invariably going to ring in and lose points. It's a little fun aspect there. To the right of that, to the drop-down box that governs your bonus plus and bonus minus, is your play and standby. Your play mode, you never have to really use play mode, because when you load in a set of questions, the software automatically goes into play mode. We recommend when you've set up for your show, you've set up your equipment in your game show system, people are gathering, you might load in your initial set at the beginning, but then we recommend toggling over into standby mode. And this flashes your logo back up on the screen. That's some good advertising for you. But it also conceals the categories before your contestants are in position. And this is very important because if you have a science category and you haven't even gotten your contestants up in a position up on the stage to play, and already everybody knows what the categories are, and that's kind of an unfair advantage. And it's also discouraging, especially if you've got a science category. You may potentially discourage women from volunteering to come up and play. Or if you have a category on Barbie dolls, well, you're going to discourage the guys from coming up and playing. So if you're going to load in a set of questions before you have your contestants, throw this software into standby. And this will conceal those categories, and essentially nobody will know what those categories are until the contestants are in position, and then you would then reveal what the categories are after the fact. So we're going to use this feature right now, and of course you will observe that plain standby are grayed out because a set of questions is not loaded into the software. So at this time, the drop-down box below your start game, go ahead and click the drop-down box and load in Game Show 001 just by simply clicking on that. So again, click the drop-down box below your start game, loading Game Show 001. At this time, you will see your six categories and your five questions in each category. And go ahead down to that standby feature that we were talking about and click on that. That throws the software into standby. Go ahead and click play and just click those back and forth a couple times just to get a feel for that. And that'll log that information into your memory by toggling that just a few times. Now the next option to the right, directly to the right of your standby feature, is the A button. And by the way, at this time you should be seeing your categories and your dollar amounts. The A button to the right of the standby is a feature that allows you to turn on the contestants' buzzers at any time at will. If you go ahead and click on that A button, you'll see a little text that appears that says buzzers activated. That's your confirmation that you did successfully click that A button. So again, when you click that A button, directly above the button, you'll see it says buzzers activated. This is useful if you're between various questions, you're looking at your categories and your dollar amounts, a question's not up on the screen, and you want to kick into some kind of physical challenge or some kind of bonus question. And you can, at this time, enable the players' buttons at will, and players then can ring in and answer the question, even though a question does not appear on the screen. This would be used in tandem with the auto feature in your buzzers option. And again, that's towards the top of your visual tab where it says buzzers, auto, manual, and on. If you are in auto mode or manual mode, the buzzers activated function is definitely useful for turning on the buzzers, and it overrides the software's intelligence of enabling buzzers only when the time is proper. If you have any questions on it, feel free to give me a call. I'd be happy to answer them. If I'm going too fast, feel free to rewind this also and review some of the information provided. Below that is your score keeping, and this basically displays to you, and only you, and not to the contestants, the scores. Now, the scores are displayed to the contestants not only on the scoreboards of the game show system you purchased from us, if you purchased a model with the scoreboards, but also appears on the projector screen. But above the scores, below your bonus plus and bonus minus, you'll see little arrow up and arrow down keys. Go ahead and feel free to click those to see what they do. But the arrow up and arrow down keys allows you to manually override the software's automatic scoring. So go ahead and have fun with that. Play with those arrow up down keys, and you can see how each arrow up and arrow down key directly manually adjusts that particular player's score accordingly. And that's kind of useful for bonus questions, Sometimes I sneak points in. The audience never catches it. Ever, ever, ever. You got a contestant that you feel bad is kind of in not doing that well, and just go over there and give them 100 points every once in a while. Nobody ever seems to catch it. If they do, at least they've never said anything that we ever know of anyways. So just a little fun, helpful tool with regards to bonus questions, physical challenges that you may incorporate, or just outright pure plain cheating. Below that, the bottom right-hand side, you see a little status bar. And very likely it says game show system not detected. And of course, if the software does not see the hardware component, your buzzers, it will display that. Your confirmation that the software is successfully communicating to your game show system, it will say waiting for player buzzer. The rescan button down below there, we do not recommend that at this time. It is not a fully tested feature as of yet on the software. The theory behind the rescan is that the software will go up and scan all 16 ports and try and find your game show system. The inherent problem is some keyboards and mice echo back various commands of the software, tricking the software into thinking that the game show system is connected when maybe, in fact, it is not. It may settle on the wrong port accordingly. So it definitely needs some work. And I'm not afraid to admit that that function needs some work. But I need to tell you that just so you don't click that thinking that that's necessarily going to solve a communications problem. By all means, again, call me if you think that you have a communications problem, something's not responding right. I'd be more than happy to assist. Okay, well, we got the kind of the right-hand side covered, especially with that visual tab. And if we go over to our audio tab, and again, that's below our game show drop-down box. You'll see your end game and your final. I said jump earlier, didn't I? That's a final button, not a jump button. And that probably didn't appear to you right away, but it does. It's probably visible right now at this time. Go ahead and click over to your audio tab. And in this tab, this gives you the availability to load in various sound effects, to adjust the volumes for them. I'll explain what these are, and to load in various sound banks. You'll see your first option there is your Edit Sounds button. The Edit Sounds button, and let's go ahead right now at this time and click Edit Sounds, and this opens up the sound editor. Along the left-hand side, you'll see where it says buzzer 1, 2, 3, correct, incorrect, daily double, question, reveal, and then each letter of the alphabet below that. By default, buzzer 1, you'll see where it says PL1, that's player 1.wave, buzzer 2 is PL2 or player 2.wave, and so forth. These are the software's default sound effects. If you do not like our sound effects, you can double-click where it says PL1, and that'll open a dialog box, and that'll allow you to navigate on your hard drive where you have other sound effects, and you can essentially replace the database of sound effects that come with your software. You can also assign sound effects to each letter of the keyboard. You're kind of, with that, you're turning your computer into a sound sampler. So in your 8 key, for example, if you were to double-click where it says double-click here to insert custom effect, if you were to double-click that, and you don't need to at this time, but if you were to double-click that, that opens up a Windows Explorer box, which allows you to navigate on your hard drive where you might have some various sound effects that you want to load in. Once you load in that sound effect, anytime you hit the A key, you are going to hear that sound effect, regardless of the duration of the sound effect. And this does support MP3s and WAV files and WMA files. But that's it, just those three file types. But it's pretty useful if you want to add the sound of glass breaking, dogs barking, toilets flushing, all kinds of fun things you can load into each letter of the keyboard and map them out accordingly. And then whenever you hit those keys, that actual sound effect will play through your speaker system. Towards the top there, you'll see where it says sound set 1, sound set 2, sound set 3. So you can essentially establish the map of three different sound banks. And you can toggle in your audio tab which sound bank you want to use. Default to sound set 1. Towards the upper left-hand side where it says import database and export database, that's useful if you go through mapping an entire sound set and you want to move that map over to another machine. You don't want to click all those letters and reload every single one of those sound effects in a separate machine. You simply want to move the map over. And basically, when you export the database, it creates a .dat file. And that .dat file is copyable to another machine, and then you would import that .dat file, and I'm saying D-A-T, and then that loads the map of all three sound banks into another machine without having to load all those sound effects individually. Your preview sound effect, if you were to click down on that button, that puts the editor, the sound editor, into a preview mode, and that allows you to preview a particular sound effect that you're loading into the software. Clicking that button again will toggle it out of preview mode. And then, of course, your save and exit essentially saves and exits the sound effects that you have inserted into the table here. On the upper right-hand side, there's a little teeny X. Go ahead and hit that X to close out the sound editor. Going back to our audio tab, there's a stop sounds button. You would use this button if you had an extremely long background audio file that you assigned to a key. Say you have some theme song in the background that's 30 minutes long, and you want to stop all sound effects that are playing at the time, you would hit the stop sounds button to stop the sound, all sound effects that are currently playing at that time. Below that is your sound bank option, sound bank 1, 2, and 3. That directly correlates to the sound banks that you establish in your edit sounds button. And so you can toggle over if you've got sound bank 1, which is useful for weddings, sound bank 2, which you find useful for bar bat mitzvahs, sound bank 3, which has various sound effects which are fun at a bar. Then you can edit with a single click, even in the middle of a game. You can change your sound banks and reload the map of sound effects that are associated with the various keys and contestant ring and responses and so forth. Below that is your volume controls. First option is your background. That definitely correlates to background audio files that you can load into the software. We'll get into that in your file options. You can establish a single file that loops, or a database of songs that go through when the game is in progress, and you can control the volume accordingly. Below that is your sound effects, and that is the volume control for the sound effects of the contestants when they ring in. So when a contestant rings in, a sound effect is generated. If you think it's too loud, you think it's too quiet, you can control the volume accordingly. That also correlates to the final think music. When the contestants are trying to solve the final question, they can you can adjust the volume on that accordingly. Below that is your key presses volume, and that is a specific volume control for the sound effects that you will assign to each letter of the keyboard. And that's just one master volume control for all the keys that you assign in your sound editor. Below that is your correct and incorrect. That is a volume control for the incorrect and the correct sound effect that plays when a contestant answers a question right or they answer it wrong. A sound effect plays, and you can directly control the volume of that accordingly. Going over to our PDA tab, this is useful if you're using a PDA, a wireless PDA, perhaps an RF or Bluetooth signal. You're out in the audience, you want to be able to view the questions and the answers without being in front of your computer. The PDA tab allows you to basically toggle and trigger all the functions of the software wirelessly, and yet to be able to view the questions and the answers accordingly. This is not a completed function yet, but it is, for the most part, a useful function if you have a PDA that you want to interface with the software. Many users are currently using this function and are having fantastic results with that. So don't feel bad about rushing out buying a PDA, interfacing it with the software, because it is, for the most part, fully functional and ready to go in that respect. Let's go over now to your game board, where your categories and your dollar amounts are. You'll see your U.S. dates as your first category, and below your U.S. dates for 500, you'll see where it says player 1, player 2, and player 3. Go ahead and at this time double-click where it says player number 1. And this opens a dialog box which allows you to add contestants' names into the software. So go ahead and add, you see a flashing cursor in there for player number 1. Let's just go ahead and add Joe. Actually, I like to use play names, or like a nickname. I turn to the player number 1. Player number 1, what is your nickname? Oh, it's Wild Joe. So go ahead and at this time type in Wild Joe. Use your tab key to switch the cursor over to player number 2. And so you turn to contestant number 2 and say, player number 2, what is your nickname? And she says it's Crazy Mary. So at this time, type in Crazy Mary. I'm typing this along with you. Okay, hit your tab key again to move your cursor over to player number 3. And then you turn to player number 3 and say, player number 3, what is your nickname? He says it's Fun Pete. So let's go Fun Pete. I'm typing this along with you, and then use your enter key to enter those values in there. And now at the very bottom of the screen, it should say Wild Joe, Crazy Mary, and Fun Pete. And when a daily double appears, it's going to say Wild Joe, daily double, or Crazy Mary, daily double. And at the end, when the software declares the winner, it's actually going to state the contestant's name or nickname. But go ahead and back down into there, because we're going to go back to that dialog box, double-click Wild Joe. And directly to the right of Wild Joe, Crazy Mary, and Fun Pete, you'll see a little checkbox. And the checkbox is useful to penalize the players for hitting their buzzer. The only time that you would essentially use this function, to checkbox this function, is if you've got a really, really drunk, wild, belligerent player. You don't really even particularly care for that player, and they're just beating on the buzzers on your game show system. So when a question comes up on the screen, it's like, bam, 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 just wailing on that button. Of course, the buttons are designed to handle that kind of abuse, but nonetheless, you're not going to appreciate them just physically beating on the game show system. So what you do is you checkbox that option next to the contestant's name, and whenever they hit their buzzer, they're going to lose points every time they hit their buzzer. You and I both know all it takes is one press to essentially ring in, but the contestant, they don't have that kind of faith, and they feel they have to wail on the buttons in order for the software to see the button press. Now, down below, there's a drop-down box towards the bottom of the screen that says button press penalty amount. The default value is 0. You can establish how many points you want them to lose every time they hit that button. So utilizing that drop-down box, you can access 1 through 10 and then 20. So every time they hit their button, they would lose that value. Now, we recommend only using number 1. Or 1 point. And the reason for that is because when they hit their buzzer, no matter how fast they hit it, the software has gone out there multiple times and seen that button push down. So if they hit it really fast, down and then up, the software has gone out there many, many times looking for button pushes during that perceived split-second push-down and release. So whenever the software goes out there and sees a button down, it's going to deduct a point. So even if they go down and then release, no matter how fast they hit it, the software has gone out there multiple times, seen that down state of the push button, and it, essentially they don't really lose 1 point, but they lose multiple points. So, and you'll see this as your game show system would be connected, that this option's enabled, and if you have one enabled and you push and just hold down that button, you'll see that score going straight down, right down the toilet. Okay, everything else on that dialog box is pretty self-explanatory. Clear names, clear penalties, and set penalties. And clear the names if you enter names and you want to clear them all out. Software does it when you load a new game in, but you can manually do it here. Clear penalties, that if you check mark everybody's option to lose points on a button press, you can clear that option out with a single push button toggle. And then set penalties, basically sets the value that you use in your drop down box. You do not need to use that, because when you access the function to set penalties, really it's basically setting the penalties to all the contestants, regardless of how many you have. So if you want to apply the penalty value to a single contestant, you just check mark that particular box next to that contestant's name. If you want to check marks everybody, make it a level playing ground that anybody who rings in is going to lose points, then you would hit set penalties and everybody's box then is check marked. And everybody that responds or pushes their button to respond loses points. Even if they get the question right or wrong, they're going to lose points when they hit that button. Makes them a little cautious when they're hitting the button. So it's a useful tool. Again, only useful really when you've got a contestant that you really don't like, or he's just really wailing on those buttons unnecessarily. Okay, going to the top of the screen. Not the top of the screen, but to your categories. Directly above your categories, you're going to see your company name displayed above your categories. Go ahead and double-click that long rectangular box. And when you do, it opens a dialog box. And this is your optional headers dialog box. And this allows you to put custom phrases up in that area. So you can essentially recognize your booking client, recognize the venue, recognize the event, advertise drink specials, sell advertising to area businesses, put some funny slogans or anything like that. You can type that up in there. You can adjust the font color, the background. You can have a little fun with that. It does not support images, only text-based banners. You'll see that there's an entry field for four banners. And basically, if you were to put four banners up in there, it's going to rotate all through four of those banners consecutively every 5 seconds. So if your first banner says, welcome Walmart employees, your second banner says, Jen at the bar could use a hug, your third banner says, drink specials from 9 to 10, so forth and so on, every 5 seconds it's going to display up in that area where your company name is displayed. Every 5 seconds it will flip through those banners. And for your convenience, when you set these banners, regardless of how many software programs that you've purchased from us, it is going to show those banners up in that area above the where the headers appear in each software game. So once you set it for one program and you close out the software and you launch a different game produced by Trivia Production Suite, you do not have to add those banners back in there. For your convenience, they are going to move over all into the other software games. This condition is held for 5 hours. So after 5 hours, the software resets and clears out those optional headers automatically. So if you're still in that optional headers dialog box, you can go ahead and click OK to clear out that box. Above the optional headers, you'll see the DigiGames logo. And to the upper right-hand side of that is the question value. Question value box here kind of works in tandem when you turn your buzzers on and you're reading questions from a book or cards from a board game. You can establish a fixed value for each question without using the questions that are displayed in the software. And you can establish a fixed value, say 100 points. If the contestant rings and gets it right, you hit Y for yes, they get the 100 points, and for no, and they lose that 100 points. And that's also useful if you've got a question up on the screen that nobody can solve. You can override the value of that question, essentially doubling the question's value, and the software will intelligently know to add or subtract whatever you put into that field box to the contestant that answers correctly or incorrectly. Going to the top upper left-hand section of the software, you've got your answer and then a zoom control. The zoom control is very seldom used. It is used, however, if you've got not only an answer, but you've got a paragraph of information with an explanation on the answer. So you've got more characters in that you've assigned in your editor, more characters than is actually visible in that answer field. If you've got more characters, in other words, more words, then the answer field box will actually display. You can essentially zoom out to increase the viewable amount of characters that are in that area. And that really pretty much covers everything on your main interface screen. So I'm going to finish right now this tutorial, and we'll now go into the next tutorial. Bringing up questions, dealing with daily doubles, and final questions and so forth. And we'll see you in the next tutorial session. Thank you.